Want instant MVP status? Join the new Dick's Scorecard Plus program. For $99, Scorecard Plus members enjoy 1 year packed with perks, like $80 in annual bonus rewards, free shipping with no minimum purchase, triple points on 2 purchases, and more. That's over $160 in benefits. Join Dick's Scorecard Plus today and score more than ever. Tap the banner to learn more. Exclusions and terms apply. Visit dicks.com/scorecardplus for details.
Hello, my spooky friends.
My name is Cassie.
And I'm Caitlin.
And welcome in to I'd Survive. Better and better.
You know, every time. Hello, everyone. Hi, Cassie.
Hello.
How are you doing today?
I'm actually okay. Why does it sound like that every time?
Actually, she is, guys. Don't worry about it.
Like, believe me, it's real. No, I'm getting caught up. I went to the movie theater this weekend, which always puts me in a good mood.
Of course.
Lots of family time. And yeah, nothing to complain about. Sometimes I need to just be like, okay, be happy and be grateful. Like, you're good. Everything is fine. You can enjoy life right now. And I feel like I'm in that, like, some anxiety gets in the way. But when you ask me that question and I step back and really think about it, it's like, wait, I am good.
Yeah.
So that's exciting. One of these days you're going to ask me and I'm just going to be confident and not have to explain.
You're going to be like, yeah, things are great.
Yes.
Yeah, kind of in the same boat right now. Nothing super crazy. I mean, I got some stuff coming up that's stressful. Exciting, but stressful kind of vibes. Just anything that interrupts routine is stressful to me, no matter what it is, you know?
Yes. So. We both have travel coming up in the next month. And it's like always, oh my gosh, prep. And you never feel ready to leave and leave things behind. And it's like, when I get back, hopefully everything's fine. Yeah.
So horror-wise, watching anything fun or interesting?
I literally just realized you were going to ask me that, and I'm like, dang it, have I? Actually, I watched this movie called Event Horizon from 1997. It's like a horror sci-fi.
Okay.
Some of the craziest gore I've ever seen.
Really?
Yeah, it's actually really intense. And apparently, when I looked at the Letterboxd reviews for it, a lot of people were like, RIP to the original cut. Like, the original cut was apparently insane and it got way cut back in terms of gore. But yeah, it was, you know, we're in space and things go wrong in space.
They sure do.
And that's why I'm never going. And there's like, there's a black hole involved, which I'm so scared of black holes.
Yeah.
They freak me out.
I think everyone should be scared of black holes.
Yeah. How can you not? It's somewhat of an irrational fear because it's, you know, I don't think we'll ever, hopefully we'll not have to deal with those.
Why am I just like picturing one just opening up behind you like right now in your
office? That's rude.
I just look up. Oh, there she goes.
Oh my God. But it actually, it was fine. It was a fun movie. But yeah, what about you?
Unfortunately.
Oh, actually, I saw. Oh, dear. Yeah.
Oh, my God. I watched Child's Play, the remake from, I think it was 2019.
Okay.
I'm just so upset. And I don't think I will ever not be upset about what they did.
Oh, dear.
With that reboot. A lot of people do actually like it. A lot of people hate it as well, though. I just like couldn't stand anything about, like, they took everything good that Chucky was and just said nah, you know. Like,
so
Brad
Dourif
doesn't voice Chucky in this movie. It's not the same voice actor, so there you go for one. And it's just not the same. It's not the same character. It's not the same lore. It's not like Charles Lee Ray. It's not
what
it's none of, yeah, it's you. I think you would hate it. I could tell you the main premise if you want, but
go for it.
It's Chucky is like an AI assistant, and a guy at the factory just like gets mad and turns off all the safety settings on one of the dolls.
Oh.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's weird. Why is it called a remake? I mean, I forget what like the definition of remake is, but
yeah, I don't know if it's a reboot or a remake or what you would even classify it as, but it's not. It's just like it doesn't deserve Child's Play as a title. Like, it's just
make your own thing then. It's
literally.
Like, what's the point? That's so stupid, because what's the point of bringing back Chucky in a premise like that? Just call it something else. Just make your own movie, if because that's pretty much what it is.
No, yeah, they just were using his name to get like, it's just no correlation whatsoever to me, and I hated it so so much.
Yeah, and that's sorry frustrating.
Like it, but I'm like, also he's hideous, like so yeah. bad. I can't get over how ugly this thing is.
Is the end of your, well, except for the TV show. Yes. That's like all the movies.
Yes, I will have watched all the movies up to this point. Yep. There is another one that they're making, which I'm scared for now.
Is it connected to that one?
I thought it was. So if it is, like, I'm not.
Oh, dear.
I mean, I'll watch it, but I'm not interested.
Right, you know? Right.
And I would love to watch the show. It's just like right now I've got a lot going on. So I won't be watching it right this second. But I am excited.
It's a fun one.
Yeah, because I know our, you know, girly pops in it, Jennifer Tilly. And
I love her. She's so good in it.
Yeah. Like, she's just so, like, I'm obsessed with her now.
Yeah.
I love her so much. So,
love that.
Yeah. That was Chucky. And I did just finish Resident Evil 4, which isn't a movie, but.
Did it live up to the hype?
Oh my God, yes.
Okay.
It's so, so good. And the DLC was amazing.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's 4 Resi games down for me, and I've loved all 4 of them. Now I have to venture into the bad ones, though.
Yeah. So, is 5 the collab one right away?
I think both 5 and 6 are.
Okay.
And 6 is the one that people really, really hate. I think 5 still has fans, but...
It probably would be... I really should catch up so we can do that. 5 and 6.
I would be so down.
Because they're apparently bad, it would make it more fun, like, doing it with someone, you know? Yeah.
Yeah, I'm like in no rush to get into those. So you let me know.
Perfect.
Let me know.
I shall.
But that is my update in horror. Are you ready to talk about, what is it, your second fear or one of 2 of your biggest fears in life?
Well, we could get really dark with a question like that, because honest, it's probably about number 6.
Right.
In terms of biggest fears. But I've always been... When it comes to horror movies, mm-hmm. I've always gotten so scared by children mm-hmm. and old people.
And they old just, people.
They can never do what like a 40-year-old man can do.
No.
You know what I mean? It's like grandmas and grandpas and children, when they decide to be scary, they can be scary. So I'm excited. I'm in the mood for a scare today.
Ooh, okay. Well,
do you think the mood is a scare or a laugh?
I would say it's a good mixture.
Love it.
I personally found this movie terrifying watching it, but I mean, I don't know how much scary I can bring to you.
Without visuals.
Yeah, you know how it is. Sometimes it can be
hard,
but yes, we are talking about old people today. The movie, not just in general.
Imagine.
There's going to be a lot of moments today where I just use the term old people and you're going to say out of context. That sounds crazy, but like, it's just... It's the movie, so here we are.
Wait, I need to say something. Imagine, absolutely. So I'm doing for June Patreon bonus, I'm covering vampire lore, and I'm going to like give a little presentation of sorts to
very excited.
Caitlin, as far as vampire lore and media, one day we just do old people lore.
Yes! Can you imagine?
When did they start getting scary?
Yes.
I wonder the OG old people antagonist in horror.
It's crazy because you said that and I laughed, but actually that could work.
It's kind of interesting. No, it's funny, but it actually could work.
This movie is a 2022 German horror film, and it was distributed by Netflix directly. It was written and directed by a man named Annie Fetcher, and you are unlikely familiar with this person. And weirdly, there is extremely little information on this movie that I could find.
Okay.
I could not find a Wikipedia, like a proper Wikipedia page.
Uh-oh.
Yeah, which is always concerning, right?
No, but this one's, I feel like a lot of people have heard of this one.
I mean, it's on Netflix.
Yeah, yeah.
And I wonder if it's simply because it's like German and maybe just it's harder to find that information. I don't know. But so that's all I have on this movie. I got nothing else. Remember, if you guys want to fill out the worksheet with us, you can check that out over on our Discord. And it does all the math for you, which is probably the best part about it, because who wants to do math? So
if only we had that.
I know. We're sitting here messing up the math half the time, by the way.
Yeah.
I get yelled at by our manager. No, he's not.
Our manager.
He just does a lot of the behind-the-scenes
stuff.
Shout
out Corey.
Shout out Corey for texting me like 2 weeks in a row being like, you did your math wrong. And I'm like, well, it's fine.
Totally
Nobody but you is going to notice.
Nobody cares.
Whatever. Anyway, let's talk about old people.
Yes.
Our film opens with some ominous music and white text on a black screen that reads as follows. In time of yore, an avenging spirit was thought to inhabit old people. A dark power that took possession of the frailest members of the clan and drove them into a seemingly blind rage.
Wow.
Okay.
Okay, well, I already am surprised because I just didn't, I assumed zero supernatural presence in this movie, but this would make sense.
Yeah. Yeah. We're going to cut straight to a very close-up shot of an old man's face. He has a breathing tube. He appears to be incredibly frail as he watches the news, and he doesn't seem to really be taking much in. He's kind of just sitting there. Mm-hmm. And outside, a girl named Melissa pulls up in a car labeled Elder Care. It's nighttime now, and she's chattering on the phone with a friend. She mentions that she took Jules's shift and has to head to the next apartment. She says she feels sorry for them all, given the state of the building. She hangs up her phone call with her friend as she runs through the rain and up to Mr. Ranka's apartment, a guy she refers to as the sad guy in the wheelchair.
Oh.
Melissa goes to put the key in the door and realizes that the door is already ajar, which is always a bad sign.
Yeah, yeah.
Never a good thing.
No.
She walks in concerned and calls out for Mr. Ranka. No response. She cautiously explores the apartment looking for the old man, and we get a close-up of an embroidered piece of artwork stating, "Solitude is the elderly's due." Which, like, what?
That's sad.
What the heck? Why would, first of all, why would someone, like, embroider that, and then why would you, like, put it on your wall?
Yeah, why is that a thing? Why are we putting it up?
I don't understand this. It also could be just translation. Maybe this is like a saying that makes more sense in German or something.
Maybe.
Because like to me, this just sounds like why would
depressing.
Whatever. Like, no.
Yeah.
So Melissa makes it to a room in the apartment where she finds Mr. Ranka's wheelchair, but no Mr. Ranka.
Oh.
So she continues to wander, and what she finds in the kitchen is not pretty. The fridge is wide open and swarming with flies.
Oh.
On the table, a book lays open to a page featuring a piece of artwork where an old woman aggressively reaches for the face of a younger one. An unsettling, breathy groan enters the chat, followed by slow, staggered footsteps.
Yeah, yeah.
Melissa slowly turns around to see Mr. Ranka trudging into the kitchen. And he lets out a scratchy help.
Oh.
So Melissa turns on the light and asks Mr. Ranka if he's okay. He stands there staring at the floor, looking weak and beaten down. Melissa starts to ask him a question, but Mr. Ranka interrupts her with a shrieking roar. He lifts his oxygen tank up off the ground and swings it hard into the side of Melissa's head.
Mm-hmm.
Melissa falls to the ground and starts twitching. I guess Mr. Ranka got her real good.
Mm-hmm.
And he's now going to get down on the floor on top of Melissa, raise the oxygen tank above his head, and repeatedly smash Melissa's head with it. After about 5 smashes, Melissa is dead, and Mr. Ranka begins to cry.
Oh.
He goes to his apartment window and leans outside in the rain. He shrieks out into the night as we hear sirens, screaming, explosions, all of that out in the distance.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
Smoke fills the sky of the city as the voice of a teenage girl comes in saying, "A few weeks before the first people were killed, we talked in school about how our society is aging drastically. Our social system will collapse in the coming years. Intergenerational conflicts will escalate." And that's essentially the opening of the movie. Very uplifting, fun, exciting vibes.
Perhaps because he believes in solitude, he just had to make sure he stayed alone. Like no one can be in there with him.
Right. That was probably his thought process.
Yeah.
I had to guess.
I hate that he said help because that's not going to help my score.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, he did ask for help and that is why she was there.
Yep.
To help him. So now we're going to get some upbeat music that kicks in.
Oh.
And we're going to switch to more hopeful imagery, trees, oceans, and this girl's going to continue to narrate.
Mm-hmm.
But looking back now, no one knows what really triggered what happened on those last hot summer days. So a family, a mom named Ella with her teenage daughter, Laura, and like 12-year-oldish son are driving down the road listening to their favorite song.
Of course.
Of course they are. And this song is called Am Fenster. It's German, obviously, yeah. So bear with me on that. And Laura, teenage girl, she isn't joining in. It was their family song, a song they used to sing with their dad and grandpa until, quote, mom decided to leave him, she says.
Oh, okay.
And she gives her mom a look via the rearview mirror. Clearly, we have some tension over what happened between the parents. So Ella's phone rings and she hands it back to her son, Noah, to answer it. It's Aunt Sana. She's just calling to see how far away they are. The family's on their way to attend Aunt Sana's wedding. Noah mentions how he can't wait to see his dad and his grandpa Ike. Somewhere on a farm in the countryside.
I bet yes. Grandpa Ike is going to be a treat.
Who wouldn't love Grandpa Ike? Somewhere on a farm in the countryside, we meet Luke, who is Ella's ex-husband, and his current girlfriend, Kim. Kim says she has to run over to work because a few of the residents at the home have refused to eat and they need her help. Lucas brings up the reception tonight and tells Kim that they don't have to go if she doesn't want to. But Kim's like, no, Ella's going to bring your kids. Don't you want to see them? And he says, of course he does, but he can spend the whole day with them tomorrow. I'm not jealous, Lucas, Kim cuts in. At least not a lot. She kisses him before getting back in her car and driving off to work. So Ella and the kids arrive at Sana's home where she and her fiancé, Malik, come outside to greet them. It's a gorgeous countryside home, very middle of nowhere vibes, but beautiful.
Of course.
Gorgeous. And Sana excitedly gives her sister a big hug. Ella asks how long they've been here, and Malik and Sana say the past week or so. They've spent nearly the entire time cleaning and decorating. When Sana tells Ella that she and the kids will be staying in mom and dad's old room, we are clued into the fact that this was their childhood home.
Mm-hmm.
Malik's been renovating the cottage next door, making it all nice for the two of them for their wedding night. Yes, sweet Malik. Noah barges in with a random fun fact that there's a tunnel underground that connects the two houses. And Ella's like, okay.
I love that. I wish I could have that with my family. I want to live all on the same. I want to have separate houses.
Yeah.
But I want to live on a giant compound and be like 2 minutes away from all my family members and have underground tunnels. That'd be so fun.
That would be fun.
Yeah.
I love that you have this vision.
Yeah.
I think it's great.
This is added to my vision. So thank you.
Okay. I got you. Noah says that grandpa told him all about it. And the Butters, they're the ones that lived over at the cottage. And Ella and Sana are like laughing because obviously he means butlers, but he calls them Butters.
I assumed that it was some random family with the last name Butter. It's like, wow, no. What a fun last name.
The Butters. That's so funny. Yeah. No, it's just the Butlers or whatever.
That makes more sense.
When Noah leaves the room, Ella asks Sana about their father. Where is he, anyway? At the Solheim retirement home, Sana replies. Ella's surprised to hear this, which leads to Sana being surprised that they haven't spoken at all. Apparently, their father had some not-so-nice things to say to Ella when she left Lucas, and it drove them apart, and she hasn't spoken to him since.
Mm-hmm.
Sana lets Ella know that his health isn't great. Things haven't been looking good, and she's not even hopeful that he'll be well enough to come to the reception tonight. Upstairs, Laura is laying in a bed when she hears a motorcycle approaching the house. She smirks and gets up to look out the window. Once she sees that it's Alex, she swings the window open and says hello. So you still know who I am, he responds, and we immediately get flirty energy between these two. We got two teenagers, and they're just like all so excited to see each other.
Mm-hmm.
But Noah interrupts their introductions when he goes into Laura's room asking if she wants to go with him, Mom, and Aunt Sana to get Grandpa. Laura lies and says she has some schoolwork to do, but we know better.
Mm-hmm.
Before Noah leaves the room, Laura's like, hey, wait, don't forget your inhaler, which is like the most classic horror movie thing.
Oh, dear. What's going to happen now?
Oh,
we're going to forget it somewhere.
Mm-hmm. So Laura and Alex, they actually just decide to go out on a little boat trip, and it looks all fun and cute. They have a good time. Good for them.
Okay.
Now, as Ella, Noah, and her sister are driving down the dirt driveway, who but Lucas is arriving from the opposite direction? Ella seems to immediately be hit with some nervousness, and Noah is just so excited to see his dad. He jumps out of the car, runs over to meet him with a big hug. Ella rolls down the window to make pleasantries with Lucas, but she doesn't seem too excited about it. Yeah. And Lucas, on the other hand, genuinely seems very fine and chill and, like, kind, but Ella's being kind of weird.
Mm-hmm.
When Sana mentions that they're off to pick up Ike at the retirement home, Lucas tells him that Kim will be happy to show them around. She's over there right now. The two women kind of, like, share a look at this, like, oh, Kim, like, his girlfriend.
Yeah.
Whatever. Now, as they drive through the desolate village, Noah takes note of the people. They're all old. And Ella explains that there really isn't much left here in this town.
Mm-hmm.
So it makes sense. It's kind of a dying town.
That's crazy.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I don't know if I would accept that. I'd be like, what do you mean?
Yeah.
I wonder if there's towns like that where, like, everybody just moves away. That's wild.
You know, what's interesting is, like, I feel like this is a thing, but, like, maybe not as much. Maybe not as much in the U.S. I don't know. I feel like a lot of the older middle of nowhere towns.
Yeah.
Which, you know what? I just don't spend a lot of time in the U.S. in those places. So maybe they're there as well. Midnight Mass kind of does that too, where they have, they're on an island, but, like, they talk about how it's dying and everyone's moving away. And yeah, it's kind of sad though. Like, imagine your hometown just, like, dying out. Like,
I'd want to go back. Like, we can do it, guys.
Guys, let's fix it. It becomes a Hallmark movie.
Yes.
Bring the town back.
Make it happen, Hallmark.
Uh-huh. So they pull up to the retirement home with its faded sign out front, and this place is looking rough. There are boarded up windows and overgrown greenery.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
That's crazy.
It gets worse inside.
Oh, no.
There is no one to greet them in the lobby, where the floor is covered in dropped plates of food. The women then show themselves around the dark, deserted hallways because
no one here.
And they come upon a common room where just too many people are existing in silence. No one speaks, no one laughs, no one smiles. Everyone just sits or stands and stares. A man looks up and he comes over to the woman and he calls out to Hannah, looking straight at Ella. He walks over to her saying, "Hannah, my girl, save me." Ella has to break the news to him that she's not Hannah. And Sana and Ella share frightened looks before continuing on further through the home. They come upon a woman naked on the floor of a shower, sitting there helplessly. And a worker comes out and seems frustrated by this sight and then asks Sana if she can help them.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Sana says they're looking for Kim. So the woman calls down the hall for her and Kim comes out and she's very sweet and pleasant as she greets Ella, Sana, and Noah. Also, just side note, like, this section of the movie is just, like, genuinely, like, so heavy and depressing.
Yeah.
Like, seeing the state of where these people live and, like, just what they're existing in, which is very much intentional.
These two, like, homes always, like, even when they're just run properly, still are depressing to me. So, like, the fact that it's, like, this is just awful.
It's horrible. So Kim leads them all down the hall to go find Grandpa Ike, and Ella asks her, like, what's going on here?
Mm-hmm.
Kim seems confused. What do you mean? Ella's concerned about the people and the state of the place, obviously, and Kim explains that they're understaffed and there are too many residents for them to take care of. As they walk by the room of an elderly man, Ella asks about the fact that they're tied down, and Kim admits that, yes, some of them need to be restrained in bed so they don't run away or hurt themselves. And Kim clearly feels bad for these people. She recognizes the problems, but it's not anything that she has any control over.
Mm-hmm.
Noah decides to just wander off on his own.
Okay.
Which, no, I would be, like, right by my mom the whole time. Like, absolutely not. Not a chance. And he comes across so many more people scattered around the hallways looking completely disheveled. Many of them are just in their underwear, and they all stare him down as he passes. Little Noah even tries to be like, hello, but nobody says hello back.
Yeah.
Finally, Noah comes upon a room where he spots Grandpa Ike sitting in a wheelchair and looking out the window. He tries to say hi to him, tells him about the reception tonight and how excited he is, but Grandpa Ike isn't seeming to really take any of this in.
Mm-hmm.
Noah looks around at all the other people in this room, staring at the floor, the wall, out into space, but one man stares him down intensely as he eats some like bread or something with a fork. I don't know what he's eating, but he chews it and then lets it fall out of his mouth, like all goopy and wet, like staring Noah down as he does it.
That's your worst nightmare.
Yeah.
I mean, it's anyone's, but ugh.
Disgusting.
I know.
So luckily, Ella and Sana arrived to cut that whole situation off. And
good.
Ella tries to speak to her father, but gets pretty much the same thing that Noah did. She glances over and notices that same man staring her down now. Why are they looking at me? She asks Kim, and Kim just says it's rare that they have any visitors here at all.
Mm-hmm.
Ella is immediately filled with guilt and says she should have come here to see him long ago, and she hugs him. Now, Laura and Alex arrive back on the shore from their little boat trip, and Alex says he wants to show Laura something. He leads her through the woods, coming upon a weird sort of, it's like a little 2 to 3 foot tall totem monument, stone monument.
Okay.
And it features a face roughly carved in to the four sides of it. Alex says it's a monument to the ghosts of their ancestors. The stone is almost 2,000 years old. It's supposed to protect families, so they stay together and honor their elders. I'm like, this is so random, but okay.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah, like totally. Laura asks whose families, and he just says all of ours. And they I don't know what that means, but like all of ours. Okay.
Okay.
Whoever hurts our families is cursed, he says.
Okay, I'm going to need a like a broader, it's like so broad.
It's so.
What do you mean by hurt?
Yes, yeah. it is such a weirdly broad, like, look at the statue. It protects us and our families. Okay.
Yeah, okay.
Cool, I guess. So as he describes this, we watch as Ike is like guided to the car so he can come to the reception. So he is going to come. And other residents are staring him down as he leaves.
Oh.
It's very weird. They're all just like gathered around, like watching him. Now, Alex shows her another fun detail that this monument has. A heart carved into the bottom with the letters E and L inside for Ella and Lucas. They had been here when they were teenagers. This kind of snaps Laura back to reality where her parents were separated and she gets really sad and says, soon I'll have to go back to Berlin. But Alex mentions that, well, he's been wanting to live in the city anyway, so maybe he could come along. And they share like a sweet smile before we cut straight to the wedding ceremony at the church.
Okay.
Bang. It's actually ending.
Oh.
Many older folks are watching Sana and Malik leave the church as people throw rice or whatever. And they're watching from their windows and their lawns as the youngins celebrate and laugh before leaving for the reception back at Sana's house. It's very pretty. They have all the tables set up outdoors with string lights hung around the yard. Everyone's laughing and dancing and having a great night. Sometime later, Ella tells Noah it's time for bed, and he's, of course, very reluctant as he shoves some more cake into his mouth. He doesn't want to go to bed. And it does not take much for Noah to convince his mom to let him stay up for just one more song.
Mm-hmm.
After Noah runs through the door, Ella turns around to see that Lucas was standing just behind her, just like his mother. Just as stubborn, he says. Ella goes back at him saying that he was the stubborn one. Lucas is giving very playful energy while Ella's smiling, but there's also a little bit of like bitterness that's coming through. They continue to chatter, and Lucas mentions how Ella followed her dream of living in the city and having her own law office. He cracks open a beer and hands it over to her. Do you ever regret it? He asks seriously. Ella looks to the floor, and before she can answer, the song Am Fenster starts to play, and Noah and Laura come running in, telling them they have to come dance to the family song. Yeah. Yeah.
Okay. Well, it sounds like they didn't – I don't know what her bitterness – there's more. There's more to the story is why she's so hesitant. Mm-hmm. But right now, it just sounds like one of those unfortunate, like, oh, we weren't in the same place.
Yeah.
At the same time, bad timing. I went off and did this.
Right.
Yeah. So that is... I'm like low key rooting for them to connect again, but I don't know, you know, what's holding her back.
Exact same headspace that I was in at this point. Like that is definitely the vibe that you should be getting. Because Lucas is just, he just seems like a really good guy.
Yeah.
Like the way he treats his kids and like he just seems like a nice dude.
Mm-hmm.
So they all go into the next room over. Ella, Lucas, Laura, and Noah. They all dance, they laugh, they sing along to the song, seeming like a happy family once again. Noah and Laura push their parents together and they end up in each other's arms laughing, just living in the moment.
Okay.
But oh no.
Oh.
Who is seething from the edges of the room but Kim? She is staring.
Tell me why I forgot that he had a girlfriend. Yep. We literally just went and hung out with her at the home.
Yep.
Okay. Right. Well, yes. Valid.
No, she's allowed to be upset.
I get it because it's like, they're doing it with their kids, though, which makes it a little different. It's like, just, have a good time with each other, dance together for the kids.
Yes.
But I can see how – you can read the energy, like, absolutely, if you're really into it, if you're just doing it for the kids.
No, and, like, the thing that I feel here is, like, she's allowed to be a little bit, like, jealous or maybe a little uncomfortable. But, like, the way she's staring them down is uncalled for.
Okay, you know? Yeah. Like, just let the let the moment happen with the kids. And then if you have an issue – talk later.
We'll figure it out later.
Yeah.
She's staring down the whole scene with pure anger in her eyes. Later. And both Ella and Lucas catch this and RIP to the fun family times because now Lucas has to run off and see Kim, and Kim is sure to kiss him as soon as he makes it over to her.
Oh my God. Like, that's so like juvenile.
Exactly. They were having a family moment. Like he has two younger kids. Let them have, I don't know. Let them have that. And a sadness falls over Ella's face. Like, she was clearly really enjoying that moment. And now it's gone. And I think she feels like a little bit of that reverse jealousy now, seeing Lucas go back over to Kim.
Mm-hmm.
Now, over at the retirement home, a large group of residents all stand gathered at an open window. They can hear
You do.
Yeah. No, it's totally like normal behavior, right?
Mm-hmm.
They can hear the sounds of the music and laughter from a distance away. And they all just stand and stare outside. One of the orderlies comes upon the scene and he immediately gives us every reason to hate him. It's quick.
Mm-hmm.
He's like, oh my God, why are you all sitting here together? Oh, you're listening to the music? Do you like it? You want to get all dolled up in front of the mirror, huh? Put on some nice clothes and join the others at the party? Well, too bad you're not invited.
What the hell?
Slams the window shut with like a smug look on his face.
It's so odd.
It's so, first of all, it's like so over the top. Bro is like, calm down. It's just like a power trip for him. You know, he just likes the power.
That's so scary. I hate people. Like, I'm so just so scared. How can you trust anyone ever?
Mm-hmm.
Because the people that you're supposed to trust the most do have the most power, but why are they there? Is it just because they're power hungry and then you can't trust them and it's all scary?
Right. No, that's exactly.
Yeah.
Meanwhile, there's another orderly, and she's heard something strange coming from the basement. Sounds of a woman laughing and screaming.
Oh.
Which is fine. I don't know if I would be doing, like, she grabs a flashlight and just goes down the stairs looking for the source. I'm like, ooh.
She's probably fine.
It's fine. She comes across a resident sitting on the floor next to an electrical box, chewing on the wires.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
Is the electricity, like, going?
So she tells the woman to put the cable down. She needs to stop. But she takes another big bite and the cable like sparks a little.
Mm-hmm.
The orderly quickly reaches out for the woman, but it's too late. Sparks fly. She's electrocuted. And the lights in the entire home just go out. The male order. Yeah. It's so weird to like watch the vibe shifts in this movie. Because it's like you're in a normal. I say normal. The people are normal. And then suddenly a woman is chewing on the wires downstairs. You're like, what is happening?
Yeah.
The male orderly upstairs is ordering the residents to go to bed. One woman desperately asks if they can please stay up a little longer and just listen to the music. Aww. He won't hear it. He goes to grab the woman, but she lunges back and bites his arm. Well, the other,
like, let me listen to my music. I don't know.
Literally. I'm not, like, even mad about this because he kind of asked for it. The other residents in the room just sit and watch until that scary staring man from before.
Yes.
He stands up and he starts growling.
Oh.
Yeah.
What kind of growl are we – is it, like, the actor actually growling or is this, like, oh, that's scarier definitely. For some reason?
Yeah, no, it's like – just a human growl.
Yeah.
Okay. Low growl. The orderly tells him to sit back down, but the old man confidently approaches him instead. He grabs the orderly's wrist, and we cut back down to the woman in the basement as she hears her coworker's screams from above. Mm-hmm. She runs upstairs to see what's going on, but by the time she reaches the top of the stairs, a group of residents are waiting for her, staring her down very menacingly. In the other room, many of the residents have gotten their hands on shards of glass from a table that broke.
Oof.
And one of them stabs the male orderly in the back and another mm-hmm. from the front. He continues screaming as more residents close in on the female orderly, some of them with shards of glass as well. They reach for her and grab her while screaming. The male orderly continues to take stab after stab, and the woman makes it to a phone and calls 911 just before the large, scary leader man swings a metal pipe at her head.
Oh my God.
Yeah. He then looks to the window where Noah had left the wedding reception invitation earlier because he'd had a copy to show Grandpa, and he grabs it and looks it over as the ominous music kicks in.
Yeah, they'll be arriving.
Uh-huh. He walks out the front door and stares into the distance. And this is our first act check-in.
Ooh. Mm-hmm. I'm not sure how I'm going to do. I can't tell. Because the fact that they went for him kind of makes sense because he was a dick. And mm-hmm. he didn't let them listen to their music. And he's like just being rude. The other one seemed fine. But they still are like knocking her out. So it's like, well, damn.
Yeah, which is why I did go for a very general question in regards to them.
You gotta, I think.
You actually might do well in their case.
Okay.
As far as the movie in general, you know, could be a different story. It could be easy to survive. Yeah. It could be hard. You never know.
They got like super strength.
Yes, that is definitely something that you're meant to take away.
Yeah.
Like this old man, especially the one that's been staring a lot. I do refer to him as the leader man.
Okay.
I think in the script or in the credits, he's referred to as Icy Eyes, but ooh. I didn't find that out until after, so I didn't.
Interesting.
But yeah. Interesting name for him, and I get it because he has these big, big eyes that are just like really scary. Mm. But I only have three questions for you in the first act. As Melissa, the girl from the very beginning,
right?
Would you leave Mr. Ranka's apartment before finding him? Given all the things that she finds up to the point.
Right. So she finds that, was it a document or a piece of paper or newspaper, something about old people like attacking the young.
So she did see, it was just like a kind of Renaissance painting.
Oh, it's just a painting.
It was just a painting. And without context of the movie, you wouldn't look at it.
Right.
Weirdly, but it's just clearly symbolic. It's like an old woman reaching at the face of a young woman.
Mm-hmm.
I meant to look up if this was a real painting. I'm assuming it is.
Yeah.
So
there's not even crazy. It just sounds like, oh no, something bad has happened to him. When you're looking around this place, there's not really anything that stands out as this man's going to be dangerous.
No, definitely you wouldn't expect that.
Yeah.
He was very weak. I will say, like, finding the wheelchair empty, for me,
he shouldn't be able to get out of it.
Would scare me. I might go out and call someone after that. But it is her job. So it's also kind of, it's tricky.
Do you know what I would do? I'd literally be on the, I don't know. If I didn't want to call someone, I would be like holding the front door and just standing there in the front door ready to close it and just be calling out to him. Like, you know, but then of course, what if he's just lying somewhere passed out or and then I'm just sitting here wasting time, and what if he just needs to be found and someone 911 needs to be called and we can save a life, but I'm too scared to find it, like I don't know. Okay, so the question is, would you leave? I'd probably go, like, I'm gonna go 49.
Okay.
Yeah, fair. I think I'm more likely to stay, but I would be unsettled, and I don't know if I would call someone for help before, I'd probably be scared but end up searching for him anyway.
Yeah, I went 37, so more or less the same kind of thought process. Like, I know it's my job and like technically there shouldn't be anything wrong, but it feels so off that there's a good chance, still a very good chance, that I'd leave.
Right.
So it's just like, it's creepy. It's very dark and creepy, and like the way they do it is ugh. So I'm so sorry for this question, but it needed to be asked. Would you skip out on your sister's wedding in the countryside?
Yeah. Unfortunately, my sisters are my best friends.
Yeah.
So would I skip out on it? Zero.
Yeah. I put a one because, you know me, I really won't do zeros, but.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, same. Like, you have no reason not to go. So.
Exactly. Yeah.
You're going to be at this wedding.
even if I didn't like the man or the woman, I wouldn't, I like, there's nothing that could keep me away. Mm-hmm. I would just have to be there.
Exactly. No, I'm with you. I'm with you. And then this is how I dealt with the orderlies. How likely are you to not work at a retirement home in your rundown hometown? So I'm curious, I'll tell you right now, I'm a 91. I could never work in a place like that because I can't be surrounded by that much death. I really can't do it. So
understandable. What I'm focused on, though, is like the rundown town part.
Well, that's literally my 9% because.
Right. Because it's like I would never in my world, in my life, in my whatever, because I'm really not good with like medical things. And I also am really not good about death. Like I'm way too existential.
Yes.
To handle that. And people who do that, so the strength that take, I so much. I thank God there are people like that.
I know.
But if like it's the rundown town part and it's like if no one else is literally able to take that job and I am just like available, I would be like, okay, these people do need to be taken care of. Like, fine.
Yeah.
So I'm going to go 85.
Okay. Yeah. That's very fair.
Yeah.
That is our first sack so far.
Oh, man.
So what did your average come out to?
I've got a 45%.
I got a 43.
Okay.
So we're right there together. Yes. Kind of low, unfortunately, for a first act, but it's just because we're there.
Yeah. Exactly. You have to establish, like, would you be in the situation? And unfortunately, it's very possible. Yeah.
All right. So let's get in to act two.
Okay.
It's pouring out now as the guests begin to leave the wedding reception. Laura says goodbye to Alex and asks him if they can go out to sea again tomorrow, and he promises her that they will. Ella sadly watches as Lucas leaves with Kim. On their ride back home, Kim comes right out and asks Lucas if he still loves Ella. Mm. He assures her that he doesn't, but even if he'd rather be with Kim now, like, you can tell by watching them that he definitely very much cared about Ella. The way they were at, like, you don't act that way to someone you don't at least very much care for.
Yeah.
And I think the look on Kim's face, it tells me anyway that she kind of feels the same way. Like, she's like, okay, you say you don't love her, but
there's something there.
Exactly.
Yeah, that's hard.
Back at the house, Ella tucks Noah into bed. They are staying at the family house. I think I said that. And he tells his mom that his favorite part of the night was when they all danced to their song again.
Aww.
And it's like, oh my God, you poor child.
I know.
Well, Sana and Malik are about to get into their wedding night activities over at the cottage. And Malik has put a lot of work into renovating for tonight. So he tells Sana to close her eyes before they go in. He picks her up and goes through the door. Now, the place is decked out with flowers and candles, which always stresses me out a little bit.
I know.
Because, like, you knock one over and it's GG's, like, we're done.
Yeah.
When Sana opens her eyes, she really is impressed with what he's done. The upstairs portion is so cute and cozy. The canopy bed is absolutely gorgeous. Mm. The lighting is perfect. Like, the lamps that he picked out, the string lights, it's so pretty.
Aww.
He puts a record on, some soft acoustic guitar begins to play. And when he looks back at Sana, he looks concerned. I'm afraid, she says, that someday won't be as perfect as it is now. Valid, but like, why are we bringing that up right now?
I feel like. That's interesting. Again, as an existential girly, I get it. But I do keep those thoughts to myself in the moment. Mm-hmm. I don't want to ruin the vibe.
Yeah, exactly. And also, like, this is like a totally off topic conversation, but things aren't always going to be perfect. And that's just the way that it is. That's life. And you'll make it through the non-perfect times. It's just a weird thing to say on your wedding night to me. And whatever.
I know. It's supposed to be special and it is special. So be happy that it's special and enjoy
it. Yeah. But Malik comforts her, though. He's saying it will always be perfect because she's the love of his life. And they begin to kiss, leading to more. And we pan away and check back in downstairs, where the leader of the old people is letting himself quietly in the unlocked front door.
Oh, they're fast.
Yes.
Wow.
He has arrived. He can hear the music flowing down from the second floor, and he looks around like he's looking for something. And he comes across a large metal ball that sits upon like an old bed frame on one of the posts of the bed frame. and he just pulls that metal ball off. He then takes off his shoe and his sock, revealing his nasty ass foot, by the way. It's gross. Like, we didn't need the close-up.
I know. I'm not really, you know how some people, like, even just a normal foot, they're like, ew.
Yeah.
It just doesn't bother me, like, at all. But some people have nasty feet.
Yes.
And it's literally, it makes my skin crawl in the way that you've described, like, nausea for, like, food stuff.
Oh, yes.
Like, you get nauseous with, like, rotting food. It makes me nauseous.
Oh,
really,
my God.
Not taking care of foot.
Oh, you would hate this foot then.
Oh,
it's
dear.
Like all wet and slimy and covered in like cuts.
But why?
Yeah.
But why is it slimy?
I don't know. I don't actually know why it's slimy, but it's slimy.
Ugh.
So then he places the metal ball into the sock. And so he's like made himself a butter sock, like from iCarly,
oh,
but it's a metal ball.
Yes.
The butter sock. I love the butter sock. Anyway, Kim and Lucas, they make it back to their place. But standing in their yard in the shadows is an old man.
Yeah.
Kim pulls out a flashlight and she shines it on him. She recognizes him from the home. He starts to walk away and lets out a howling scream.
Oh.
Just then, an explosion sounds from another direction, followed by car alarms. Kim and Lucas run to the top of the hill where they can look down upon the village, and it's in flames and there is smoke rising into the sky. Okay, love that. Now, Sana and Malik, they're still having sex when Sana looks up and sees the old man standing just next to the bed.
Oh, my God.
Looking down at her in silence.
God. Oh, my God.
Yeah.
I could never have sex again. It's ruined.
So traumatized. We're done.
That's so scary.
We're done.
Oh.
But, like, she just, like, stares back. She's so scared. She freezes.
Oh, no.
But then, like, Malik notices that her energy's changed. So he turns around to look. And the man swings his ball sock right at Malik's head.
Oh.
And the blood splatters all over Sana.
Definitely so, never having sex again.
Yeah, definitely died.
Oh, my God.
Like, a man was killed.
Oh, and their wedding night. That's so sad.
It's not great.
It's all bad.
She screams as the man then continuously smashes Malik's head with the sock. And
this
next shot is totally just thrown in here to be gross.
Oh, God.
But some like goopy brown liquid starts pouring from the man's mouth. I guess it's vomit. I don't know. And he throws himself on top of Sana and is sure to let it all fall onto her face and into her mouth.
No.
And it's so gross. And I'm like, what even is that? What are we even? There's no reason.
No.
It's definitely like, let's just make it as gross as we can. It's so gross. I can't.
Yeah.
So she manages to push the man off herself and she runs to the stairs. But when she gets to the top of the stairs, she stops, turns, and looks back at the man, giving him enough time to hurl the sock across the room, hitting her square in the face.
Mm.
Yeah.
That's unfortunate.
It's a very upsetting moment. It's just one of those you're screaming at the character moments of like, why are you stopping at the top of the stairs?
Keep going.
Well, she does keep going because she tumbles down the stairs like nearly unconscious and she can't seem to move as the man comes down the stairs to meet her. So he crouches down. He puts his hand in her mouth slash like down her throat. I can't tell what he's doing here, but we hear like a crunch.
Oh,
and then she goes silent. I don't know what he did, but like I think she dies after.
Yeah, this. Just reaches in her throat. He could have just squeezed from the outside, and I think had done the same job. So that's weird. Interesting.
Yeah, it's just icky sounds. And all of that.
Yeah.
But then he grabs her by the feet and pulls her back upstairs.
Okay.
Meanwhile, Ella has been fast asleep in the bed next to Noah at the house next door. Some howling in the distance wakes her up and she gets out of bed. She tries to turn on a light switch, but it seems the power's gone out. Walking into Laura's room, she sees that Laura isn't here, and she's obviously quickly concerned. She wanders the creaky old house in the dark and suddenly finds a terrified Laura standing in the hallway downstairs. "There are all these people outside," she says. Ella asks her what people, like guests from the party?
Old
people, Laura says.
No, but imagine, it doesn't even have to be old, but imagine just looking out your house and just seeing a whole huge gathering of people just staring at your house.
Ew, stop. Yeah.
It's That's actually so crazy.
Oh, and then being like, hey, mom, so it's going to sound crazy.
Yeah.
But like, no, what does suck is Ella makes her way to the window and nope, there's no old people out there.
Are you kidding?
Laura's like, don't you believe me?
Oh, God.
But Ella has no time to reply as a singular piano note rings out from behind them. Ella and Laura slowly walk to the next room over where there is a piano.
Mm-hmm.
They find Grandpa Ike sitting at the piano, playing just nonsense.
Mm.
Ella asks what he's trying to say, but he just keeps playing a few dark notes that seem to have no meaning.
Mm-hmm.
While Grandpa Ike's notes continue, we cut back to Lucas and Kim, who have made their way down toward the village, but they've come across a car wreck. Vehicles are on fire, there are dead bodies in the road and in the grass, and Lucas tries to call 911, but a recorded message tells him that all lines are busy at the moment. Lucas looks further down the road and sees some old people getting ready to axe up a young guy after having just hung up another one on a flagpole.
Okay, yes.
Yes. The elderly gentleman with the axe looks up and sees Lucas, so he starts running toward him now instead.
How fast are these people, old people, running?
It depends. Sometimes they're very slow. Sometimes they can be very quick. They can be very quick.
Like, I can imagine the lead guy is pretty quick.
Yeah, yeah. He's very strong, very quick.
I'd be a slow one.
I would like to just roll around, maybe.
Girl, this is really bad. I went for a mile walk yesterday.
Yeah.
And my left hip hurt.
That's, you
like,
know what?
My joint.
That's
from walking 1 mile.
I think you and I are in the same place where we're like, we are trying to be better.
Yeah. I'm getting a gym membership. It's happening. And my family's locking in with me. So.
Yes. Wait, I love that. That's awesome. Yeah. I'm trying to convince my parents to install a pickleball court in their yard, which is like not going to happen, obviously, but.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Wouldn't that be nice? I would literally was begging my stepdad at one point, can we, a tennis court, please?
Yeah.
Please, that'd be, do you know, crazy how expensive a tennis court is. We looked into it. Yeah. He's like, well, let's see how expensive. Absolutely not.
Yeah, exactly.
Dang it.
I also looked into the pickleball courts and was like, oh.
Yeah, okay. Maybe not.
It would be really good though.
What, like, if we just didn't have a house and we just had a tennis and a pickleball court?
We could get so active.
Yeah.
That's so fun. So Lucas.
Maybe run in.
Yeah, yeah. Lucas sprints back to his truck and tells Kim to jump in quickly.
Mm-hmm.
And they do drive off and manage to get away. Now, Grandpa Ike, he's still playing some piano keys while Ella and Laura watch, but a sudden bang on the door interrupts them. The bang becomes small knocks and scratches.
Oh.
Ella approaches the door as Laura begs her not to do it. Ella calls out, hello? But no one responds. So she grabs her flashlight and goes outside.
That's crazy. We survived.
Yeah,
we're fine.
You know, I do think this is interesting because, like, technically she hasn't seen anything scary.
Yeah, but, yeah. But no, I'm scared when I don't see a thing.
Yeah, right.
Like, if my sister told me, I think I saw a man, one man.
Yes.
In the yard. Yes. I'm locking all the doors and I ain't going out there. Yeah.
Not with you. The fact that she opens the door here, I'm
crazy.
Like, oh my God. She steps outside and there's no one standing on the stoop, but there is an old man standing about 20 feet away with his back to the house.
No. Goodbye.
Ella slowly approaches the man, calling out to him. Are you okay? She asks. The man turns around. It's the man who called her Hannah at the retirement home.
Hmm.
And he calls her Hannah again. He happens to be holding a Bible of which he rips out a page and hands it to Ella.
Oh.
I think it's a Bible. It could be some kind of other book, but it's giving Bible.
Yeah.
Looking down, Ella can see that this page reads, thou shalt honor the old, for they are great in number, and one day you will all be like them.
Okay, valid.
Mm-hmm. Now, Laura's decided to step outside as well, but she's hearing a funny noise from right up against the house. Panning her light over there, she sees a woman crouched down on the ground wearing Sana's wedding dress.
That's crazy.
Yeah. Ew.
Oh my God. Why is that so scary?
I know. I don't know what it is.
So weird.
It's
okay.
Awful. So she calls for her mom and Ella comes right over. The woman on the ground is making some growly noises and like rubbing her hands on her face and like scratching her face. Mm-hmm. Suddenly, she turns on a dime and crawls away. Yeah.
The crawling.
Yes, it's always the crawling. I mean, you know what movie I always think of when you think crawling old lady.
Crawling old lady. Oh, yes. Yeah. Yes. What's the visit?
The name. The Visit. Thank you.
Yes.
Like, what's the name? That scene is.
That's the standout scene of the whole movie.
It is. If you haven't seen The Visit, I'm not going to tell you to watch it.
Yeah.
It's kind of disturbing. But
you want to be scared by old people. That's just, you got to watch that one.
That's a fun movie. It's disgusting, but it's fun.
Yeah.
So the good thing is.
What do you mean? What do you mean the good thing is? Look around us.
Well, that's it. I was going to say the good thing is that we are now all aware that this is in fact a weird situation.
This is true. This is true. We're on the same page now, at least.
Everybody is on the same page. So Ella tells Laura to go inside, lock all the doors, and stay there with Noah. Mm-hmm. She needs to go over to the cottage and check on her sister.
Oh, dear.
Ella opens the front door of the cottage slowly and makes her way inside. It's quiet, but she calls out for her sister. No response. Ella starts to ascend the stairs. Everything actually seems normal up here, but the canopy bed curtains are all closed. So Ella has to check inside. Pulling the curtains back, she finds the corpses of her sister and Malik, bloody, bruised, and posed up in the bed.
Are they posed in any significant... Are they just sitting next to each other?
Sana's like leaning against Malik. And yeah. They had to have been put like that, but it's not anything particular. At least not that I can tell.
Yeah.
So she tries to wake up her sister, not accepting what she's seeing. And then she notices something shoved in Sana's mouth. And she pulls the man's long black sock out from inside.
Why?
Yeah.
Why? Yeah. On that nasty ass foot.
That nasty foot. Yep. So gross. So as she starts to cry over her sister, a soft humming starts from somewhere within the room. Ella freezes and then looks over her shoulder. The woman wearing the wedding dress now sits in a rocking chair in the room holding a kitchen knife.
Okay. Why are they so – I'm so scared of old people.
They're just having a good time.
It's the wedding dress. It's the crawling. It's like barely even the kitchen knife. Like that's like the bottom thing that's scaring me.
And also she's humming. So like that's always
It's the fun. Humming. Yeah, it's the rocking chair. Mm-hmm. It's the old
– Period. Well, then the old man jumps out from behind the other set of curtains and lunges at Ella.
Oh, no.
She pulls away, but when she gets to the stairs, another old man's coming up now.
Oh, no.
So she's trapped. So she goes ahead and throws herself out the window.
Yeah.
Which...
Is it a window smash? Like, it just shatters?
No, she opens it. She opens it.
Okay.
And then it's like there's a roof. So she like rolls along the roof and falls to the ground. And she's shaken for a moment, but then she gets up and runs back toward the other house.
Yeah. We got adrenaline on our side.
She's good. But Kim and Lucas are just pulling up right now in the truck. And luckily, we're all up to speed. So no one needs to explain anything to anyone.
Mm-hmm.
They look back to the cottage and suddenly a whole flock of them are coming toward the house.
Oh my God, not flock. I don't like that word.
Flock of the elderly, and Cassie's running the other way. Yeah. Ella, Lucas, and Kim all run to the front door and bang on it, begging Laura to let them in. She does, and everyone makes it safely inside before locking the doors behind them. And this is act two.
I feel like we should have stayed in the truck. Just start honking. Start honking. Get in here. We're gone. Because if I was in the house and my family was honking from the truck, it's dark, isn't it? Like really dark.
It is.
I mean, I guess I'd be like, is that actually them?
Yeah. Yeah, I actually overlooked that.
Mm.
entirely.
Because it's that so like crazy to have that car there right now. Yeah. Like we could, they could abandon their children and be out of there, which obviously we wouldn't do. But man, if only we could have used it.
Yeah, I didn't even think about that. That's crazy. All right, so Act Two has four questions.
Okay.
This is an interesting mix, and we'll talk about it after we give scores. But okay. Do you lock the door to your cottage in the middle of nowhere on your wedding night?
Yes.
Okay.
Well, yes. I would give that probably a 97. Why did you not give it a 97?
Because
I'm about to have sex with my now husband, and my family is in the house over, and there's children, and children don't get it. What if like little Noah comes running along like, I missed you guys? No. The door needs to be locked.
My brain didn't do any of that. It's like midnight. You know, they're sleeping.
It's midnight. That's when and that's also when the killers come out.
Okay, but it's like in the middle of nowhere.
Exactly.
Okay.
Listen, exactly.
I can round us out at 100 because I did give myself a
3%. What?
Okay. I hesitate to say this on this podcast, but I grew up, we didn't lock our doors when we, like, growing up. Like, it wasn't what we did.
Yeah.
Because we just lived in a place where, like, it was kind of normal not to. I think locking your doors is very much, like, based on where you live. Mm-hmm. Like, when I was in college, I always locked my door because it's, like, there's so many people around. If I lived in the city, I'd always lock my door.
Sure.
Living in the middle of nowhere, which isn't even the middle of nowhere, I've grown up in places where you don't lock your door. So this, to me, it's like no-brainer. I'm not locking the door.
That's wild.
Yeah.
My trauma of like being killed by a man when I was 5 years old and I watched Scream, it always comes back to that. Yes. Like, you better believe I was like aware of locked doors at the age of 5. Yeah. So it's just instilled in me. Yeah. And then it's like the whole thing of just privacy as well as a factor. Like,
yeah,
because I know that like I have an irrational fear and I probably don't need to lock the door. But even without considering that, I think I would for privacy. Yeah.
No, that's a good point that I also didn't think about.
Yeah.
No, I think I've said this on this podcast before, but like I try to lock my doors at night. I really do. Sometimes I forget. Sometimes I wake up and the door's literally wide open. Sometimes I go to sleep and I left the key in the door outside.
Crazy.
The shit that I do is like, how am I still alive? I do not know. Yeah. But, you know, we're here. So,
man.
Yeah, you gave it a 97. I gave it a 3. I think that's great for us.
Wow. One time I did forget to lock my front door for like 3 nights in a row. Yes. Because I thought I locked it the one night and I thought it stayed locked. So then it was like 3 nights before I realized it's been unlocked all this time. And I like literally searched my basement head to toe because I was like, someone's in my walls. No. Someone definitely crawled in here.
Wow. That's kind of rough. Okay.
Yeah.
When given the chance to escape, do you book it as opposed to turning back to get a good look at the old fella?
Oh, yeah. I'm actually going to go another 97.
Okay.
If there's like a weird noise that distracts me somehow, which I don't know how, I can't even fathom that, but I'll give it some room.
Yeah. I went 95 for that same reason. There's a chance I'd be like, what the fuck just happened? And but hopefully my brain would let me just book it.
Right.
Do you stay in the safety of your home as opposed to checking on your sister?
Well, the thing is, I would call her.
Okay. I think
they don't have cell phones.
Yeah, I think the service is all out. It only becomes clear later. Okay. But I think we're meant to know that the service is out.
Okay, so remind me what I've seen thus far. I've seen the old people.
You saw the woman crouching in Sana's wedding
dress. Yeah, that's right. It was right after that she went. Yeah. Okay, I would.
Yeah.
I don't know if I'd go upstairs though. I would like open the door and like call out to them. Mm-hmm. And if I didn't get a response, I'd be like, oh, she's like, something is wrong here, whatever. But I think I'd be too scared to go inside if I didn't get a response. So I'm going to factor that in.
Okay.
Like, I'm going to give myself a 64 on this one.
Wow. Okay.
Yeah. Because I know I'm checking on her, but I'm not going to completely enter.
Okay.
Either. So I'm trying to balance that into my number.
Okay. I gave myself a 7.
Yeah.
Because I'm going to check. And I feel like if I didn't get a response, I would be more inclined to go upstairs. Because, like, I think at that point, like, my just genuine concern would take over. Mm. My own safety would not become relevant to me. Or, like, I think I'd be clouded by just, like, my need to make sure they were okay.
Yeah. I think because I have kids, I would be like, something is really wrong. I need to, like, something bad has happened here. I don't know. If you get that gut feeling that something bad has happened, I think I'd be like, okay, I need to go make sure everyone else that I know is okay. Yeah.
Okay. That makes sense. That makes sense. Last question. Can you throw yourself out the window to avoid being cornered by three elderlies?
Three elderlies. Yeah. I would definitely go for the window. Mm-hmm. Some windows are tricky. So I hope it's an easy one to open.
Yeah, she just opens it right up.
Gotta
and they're
be
kind of
okay.
Just slow going toward her.
And then the roof is right there. Yeah. I'm going to give myself a... This is one, though, where I could see a freeze happen to me.
Okay.
Like, out of fear. So I'm going to not get too cocky, but I'm going to say 79.
Okay. You know how I feel about a window. So I gave myself a 97. I'm like, I think I might be excited about it. Maybe that's why I keep giving
myself...
I finally get to jump
out a window.
Maybe I should just do it because clearly want to.
You should. I always wanted to... Oh, my grandma and grandpa's old house when I was a kid had one of those, like a window right set on a roof. It was pretty slanted. So you couldn't really sit on the roof, but there were so many impulsive thoughts that happened in that bedroom for me. I never did go out the window. I really wanted to just like roll down the roof and just have a little fun.
Yeah, but. No. I feel that there's like a hallway window in my parents' house and it's a good thing there's a screen on it because I want to climb through that window on the roof all the time.
Yeah.
Even at my old age of 29, I'm still like, can I just climb around the roof really quick?
I think in my dream house, if I ever would get to build it, I would need to have a window on a roof that's flat enough to be able, like, you genuinely can just, like, climb out onto the roof and sit there.
Oh my God, it would be so cute.
I've seen people do it all the time.
Yeah.
Just driving around, people just chilling on their roofs. And I'm like, that's so nice. That's cool.
I do love that.
Well, I have an 84%.
I don't. I have a 51, though. Like, it's not terrible.
No, we're not. Yeah, it's good.
But for me, I knew this was going to be like a middle score because I had a 3, a 95, a 7, and a 97. So it was like, I know it's going to split right down the middle there.
Right.
So it made sense. But we do have another act to get through before we can decide if we've just
survived this. I'm scared
of this
one.
This. Yeah.
These people are scary.
I'm glad that they are.
And I'm curious about, well, that's something we'll talk about at the end. I'm curious about like if why, like what exactly is going on.
Right. Exactly.
But I feel like it's also the type of movie where we don't need to know either.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, we'll see.
We'll definitely talk about that. All right. So Laura is hysterical. What's going on? I feel like, I don't know if this is a translation thing or if this is just what she says. She says, what's going on? What's wrong with the old people? And it's just like such a wild line.
I know.
But Ella just wants to know where Noah is. But Laura ignores the question, saying she tried to call Alex, but she couldn't get through.
Okay, now is not the time.
And Ella asks again, where is Noah?
Right.
And she's just frantic. They tried to get in the house, so I barricaded the windows instead. Ella gives up on Laura and runs through the house calling for Noah.
Mm-hmm.
Also, Ike is not there anymore, just a side note. I don't know where the heck he went.
Oh, right. So,
one has any luck finding Noah. So Ella runs to the library shelves and she starts throwing books off of them.
Mm.
She reaches toward the back of a shelf and pulls out a gun in a box that she's clearly been stashing there.
Okay.
She is determined to go outside and find Noah. Lucas tries to stop her, but she breaks free and runs off. So then Lucas starts following her, but Kim is now the one to be like, no, don't go. Stay here. She says, if you love me, then you stay here.
Well, that's a bit of a low blow.
Yeah, a little bit. And Lucas just promises her that he'll be right back.
Yep.
So outside, Ella's questioning all of the old people at gunpoint. She keeps asking where her son is, but they all just stare back at her. Then she spots Ike among them, and she runs to him. She doesn't seem to hold the same fear when it comes to her father.
Yeah.
And she throws herself at him, asking what they've done with Noah and why they won't speak. But her father remains mute as Luca pulls Ella off of him. Back inside the house, Kim and Laura hear a glass shatter. Laura's afraid that this means someone is inside the house, so she actually follows the source of where the sound came from. She finds within a closet that someone had broken a window to get inside, I think is the implication, even though the window's like super tiny.
Okay.
I don't know the implication here, but I think that's what they're going for.
Okay.
So Kim stayed behind in the living room, though, and the old people leader is suddenly just behind her.
Great.
The creak of the floorboards under his feet alerts her of his presence, and she turns toward him. He doesn't approach her, though. Instead, he goes over to the door, and they've had this like weird rolling garage door type thing over their like porch thing, and they left it open when they went outside. So he starts ushering in all of his friends, and they're just crawling in, like all the old people start crawling into the house.
Right.
Which is really nice.
Yeah.
The elderly flood into the home, and then their leader does walk toward Kim. Now, remember, Kim recognizes all of these people because she works at the retirement home. So she looks this man in the eyes and says, "I've never done you any harm. If you're going to hurt someone, don't hurt me." She then glances a few paces down the hall where Laura stands, frozen in fear. And the leader follows her gaze and quickly lunges toward Laura. Laura runs away screaming, and her screams can be heard by her parents who are still outside. They bolt for the door, and they start, like, shooing away the other old people that are trying to get inside because they got the gun, so they're like,
"We'll shoot you."
Just inside the house, they find Kim on the floor, praying in fear. Lucas crouches down and asks her where Laura is. "It's your fault," she says, looking up at him. "You left me alone." Lucas asks her what she's done, and she just says, "She's not my daughter."
What the hell?
Yeah.
Kim can die.
Yeah, actually. Like, what is Kim? Girl? A loud thud distracts Ella and Lucas as someone crawls clumsily into the room. Ella does not hesitate and shoots them dead. The ex-couple then start walking through the home trying to find their daughter now, and Ella defends herself by holding out the gun while Lucas takes down a man with a metal pipe. At the end of the hall, they can hear groaning and screaming, so they open up the door to find the leader tossing their daughter around.
Oh my God.
He holds that metal ball in his hand again.
Oh, yeah.
Ella raises the gun to shoot, but she misses him, and the man throws the metal ball at her head. Ella flies backward into the hallway, dropping the gun. Lucas goes for the man with his metal pipe now, but the man fights back strongly. He flips Lucas to the ground and pins him, holding the knife just above his throat. In enters Ella with a metal pot. She smashes the man across the head with it, and he goes out cold.
Okay.
Laura, Lucas, and Ella all embrace in relief. And then Kim appears in the doorway.
She's going to be like jealous.
Yeah, like she's like, hugging without me. You don't love me.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay, girl, like sit down. She and Lucas exchange like stern looks, but we don't have time for this right now.
Yeah.
Lucas grabs some duct tape and asks Kim to hold the flashlight for him, but she just stands there and stares. So Laura gets up and grabs the light for him. Ella and Lucas duct tape the man's wrist to the oven door and they look him over. Lucas asks Kim if she knows him from the home and she nods. So then he's like, "All right, what's his name?" She says she doesn't know. The man has woken up now, and as Lucas tries to speak to him, the man just spits in his face. Lucas gently says he just wants to know where Noah is. He goes on to ask why they're doing this and why to them they haven't done anything to hurt them.
Mm-hmm.
Ella's less kind. She grabs a fork from the counter, stabs the man with it, and demands to know where Noah is.
Okay.
Lucas pulls her off and tells her to stop, but Ella fights back and then runs to grab the gun from the hall. She uses it to threaten the man. She needs to know where her son is.
Mm-hmm.
The man finally speaks for the first time. "What do you see?" he asks. "A man or a beast? You don't know everything we've seen in our all too short and sad lives. Do it. Just kill me. I'd rather die than continue living like an animal."
Okay.
I will say that his like voice in the German version is so good. Mm-hmm. His dubbed voice is the worst thing that's ever happened.
It really ruins the moment.
I got so mad.
Yeah.
Because I did watch this both ways, once in German just to enjoy it. And then when I was scripting, I did in English just for the ease of it. And my God, please, if you watch this film, watch the German version.
Yeah.
I cannot stress it enough. The man then glances behind everyone over at the doorway. Everyone turns and looks to see Noah standing there, safe and sound.
Oh.
They run to him and ask him where he's been. Grandpa took me to the attic so I wouldn't get hurt, he says.
Hmm.
Noah then starts wheezing. Oh no, his inhaler.
Right. Dang it, Doug.
What's weird though is Laura disappears from the room for like 10 seconds and arrives back with the inhaler, no issues whatsoever.
So why?
Why bother with the inhaler thing? Because usually it's used to be like, oh no, this is why we need XYZ to happen because this person. Like, you know what I mean?
There's but it doesn't help anything else.
No.
It's weird. Yeah.
They give Noah the inhaler and coach him through his breathing and he's chilling again. And Kim is still just standing mute in the corner of the room watching all of this unfold with like wide eyes. And the family decides that they're going to barricade themselves in the house and wait for it to get light out to make an escape. Noah's too weak to go anywhere right now anyway. Now, what's interesting here is I forgot about the car. So I think it's interesting that they do have a car.
Yes.
And everyone's here now. And they do not, there is no
plan.
Acknowledgement of the car whatsoever, which is weird to me.
That is weird.
Unless I missed something.
Right. I don't know. Unless you assume like you just make the assumption that they like ruined the car, like slashed the tires but usually you do acknowledge that thought or
exactly
you show that it has happened. So.
Right. Yeah. I say we're going to go with that assumption because the car is never once brought up again for the rest of the movie.
Okay.
Which is weird now that you've brought that up. So interesting. Anyway, outside in the storm, the old people still stand and stare down the house. The woman in the wedding dress seems to serve as a bit of a leader herself. And as she approaches, one of the other men leans to her and says, I know where they are. I mean, like we all do, but okay.
Okay. Yeah.
Then Laura has some weird dream about her grandpa coming inside and murdering her brother. So that's cute, but irrelevant.
Sure.
When she wakes up, everyone is just sitting in disturbed silence around her in a living room of sorts in the house. Some faint hollering can be heard from outside. Ella's been sitting in an armchair with Noah asleep in her lap, but she shifts him to the side and wordlessly gets up and leaves the room. She makes her way to a bathroom and realizes when she goes to turn on the sink that there is no water. So she uses a cloth to dab at the cuts and the blood on her face. A light knock is heard on the door before it slowly pushes open. It's Kim.
Oh, God.
Yeah. She squeezes into the bathroom with Ella. I admire you, Ella, she says. Lucas still says your name in his sleep sometimes, and your kids' names, and I lie awake next to him. Okay.
Oh.
Good for you.
She's so weird. She's so not, like, I was really hoping it was an old person coming in here. Please.
Anyone but Kim.
Yes.
So real. She then asks, want to know why he'll never love me as much as he loves you? Ella, like, she takes a step back.
Yeah.
And Kim's like, because you left him. Because you abandoned him. It was so easy for you to abandon someone, and I stayed behind and in this shithole, which no one asked you to.
Yeah.
It's none of your damn business, first of all.
No, what and if you, you feel this now, way, you should clearly don't, then don't be with him. If it bothers you so much, like,
yes.
If you think he's hung up on an ex, okay, then leave. Why are you putting yourself through that then?
Yes. No, I think I was like looking over some stuff about this film this morning, and there were a lot of people talking about how hung up Kim is on Lucas and how ridiculous it is.
Yeah.
She's just so annoying.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, I forgot I wrote this. Like, for real, I've never wanted to slap a bitch so much. Is this actually important right now?
Yeah.
And I stand by that.
Exactly.
Kim goes on to say she's even the one who took care of Ella's father instead of her. Well, yeah, because you get paid. Now sit down.
Yeah, that's your job.
Literally, yep. Okay. Ella finally speaks and says she's not trying to take Lucas away from her. And then I don't know if this is a translation issue or what, but like Kim says, I never had any problems with old people. This all started when you came. And then she walks out of the room. And I'm like, that was not even the conversation.
What? So she's blaming... And also, that's just crazy to say, even the fact that it just doesn't make sense at this time, whatever. But the fact that she's blaming all of this happening on Ella?
Like, what? You think she just showed up and was like, old people, unite?
Yeah.
I don't understand. This whole scene is so weird to me.
Yeah.
You know, I wanted to say this. If anybody here watches this movie in German and knows German and wants to fill in any gaps in terms of maybe weird moments, please do on the Discord. I'd be very intrigued to hear from anyone.
Definitely.
Who might be able to help me with some of these moments.
Mm-hmm.
So Ella follows Kim out of the room about 10 seconds later. And when she reaches the front entryway, she finds Kim standing in front of the open door, staring outside.
Push like her out.
Well, Ella's like, yo, why is the door open? Hello. Yeah. And she quickly closes it.
Mm-hmm.
Kim looks at her and goes, I'm sorry. For what?
Oh my
Ella
God.
Asks. Kim raises her flashlight, bonks Ella in the head with it. Ella falls to the ground unconscious. And then, yes, Kim drags Ella's body outside on the front stoop and leaves her there. Yes, she does. Yes. Kim
that
is honestly
is
the real
so
villain of this movie.
She is.
What is she doing?
She's insane.
Yeah, she's a psychopath.
Oh my God. Okay.
Ella soon wakes up to some howling in the distance. And when she looks out into the yard, she actually can see her father standing still and mute.
Oh.
He reaches a finger to his lips in a shh kind of gesture.
Mm-hmm.
Then through the fog, we start to see the silhouettes of old people. Oh, I wrote the old people army start slowly making
Amazing.
Their way toward the house. Ella jumps up in a panic and tries to get back in the house. But of course, Kim has locked the door.
Yeah.
Ella starts screaming and knocking frantically. Just on the other side of the door, Kim stands staring and holding the key in her hand.
Oh my God.
When she turns around, she can see that the screaming has brought the rest of Ella's family into the entryway.
Mm.
And Lucas stares at what he just can't possibly be seeing right now.
Yeah.
And Kim stares back. He starts for Kim and girl, listen.
Oh my God.
Kim, for some reason, puts this key in her mouth like she's about to swallow it.
Like, give it up.
What?
Why? Why would she think, okay. I need to let me think about how I need to say this.
Yes, do.
It's not even been established that these old people need a sacrifice. That's what she's acting like. She's acting like they need a sacrifice. So, of course, she's evil and she's going to get rid of this woman that she has problems with. But it's not even – this isn't even going to do anything.
No.
They're still going to want to come and get you. So, what are you doing?
Yeah. It's like she just wants to get rid of Ella.
She's like, oh, this is just a perfect chance to get her to die.
Yeah. And also, on top of that, as if there aren't other doors that she could come in, like swallowing the key is the most extra thing
anybody could do.
But anyway, Lucas like grabs it out of her mouth anyway.
Oh, good.
And then Lucas goes to unlock the door and open it, but he's struggling because there's resistance on the door.
Mm-hmm.
He finally gets the door open a bit and Ella's body falls into the entryway before quickly getting yanked back out.
Mm.
Lucas fights again to get the door open and many arms start coming through the crack reaching for him. Mm-hmm. One even holds a knife and starts slashing away at him. Laura jumps into action and tries grabbing her mom's wrist to pull her back inside and she's struggling so she runs to a closet and grabs a fire extinguisher. She aims it through the doorway and I guess fires it in hopes of providing some sort of distraction. I don't know. I've never been in a room with fire extinguisher stuff. So I don't know what it does to you, but I guess it mustn't be fun. But it's not enough. The struggle is still a losing battle as Lucas is still being stabbed and slashed at, by the way. Kim looks around and takes in everything that she has absolutely caused.
Mm-hmm.
She does look sick and she turns and slowly walks upstairs. In pure zombie-like fashion, she makes her way for the window above the front door, opens it, and free falls outside, landing on the stoop with a thud. Yes.
Okay.
And this distraction works as everyone goes for her instead. She looks up at the family as her throat is then slashed.
Oh my God.
Like, girls was messed up in the head, clearly.
Yeah.
Like, this whole range that she goes through is just so bizarre.
That is kind of bizarre.
Yeah.
I don't know what to make of this right now.
Yeah, no, that's totally valid because what is going on?
Oh, yeah.
Also, it's worth noting that a lot of the third act is done. The sound design's very weird where, like, you're not hearing a lot of practical sound going on. It's just, like, very echoey and intense. And sometimes you're not hearing the character's screams. And it's a lot. So Ella bolts back inside, but the elderly follow her. Lucas tries to close the door, but the handle breaks off, so the family runs into the next room and closes those double doors. Mm-hmm. They put like a broom or something in the handles to keep it locked. The old people are screaming and pounding on the doors trying to break in. Ella turns to Lucas, who is now sitting weakly in an armchair. Looking down at his leg, we can see that it's gushing with blood, and he is bleeding out. Suddenly, gas starts leaking from under the doorway, and then instantly just goes up in flames. The old people got some gasoline, they poured it down, they lit it on fire.
Okay.
Yeah, it's getting crazy up in here. So Lucas, actually, he does fade, and he is gone. R.I.P. Lucas. It happens very quickly.
Oh.
Which is very sad, because I liked Lucas a lot.
I know, I thought this was going to be like a... they come together as a family in the end kind of ending.
Yeah. Yeah, yikes. That would have been nice. Ella is in a daze, but Laura remembers something Noah had said. Something about a secret passageway under the house, right? They gotta try and find it. Well, somehow Ella suddenly just knows exactly where it is because she just moves the piano and pulls the rug back and there's a trapdoor.
Okay.
And it's perfect. Like, oh, okay. That didn't take long. So Ella opens the passage just as the old people break the door down. She sends in Noah, then Laura, and then follows behind them.
Mm-hmm.
They start running through the dark tunnel. The old people follow.
No. Is there any light here?
It's weird. It shouldn't be.
Okay.
But there is.
So like, it's pretty much pitch black, but it's just showing you what you need to see as a viewer.
Yeah, I think so. So they get to a point where the walkable tunnel turns into like a literal hole in the wall that is just big enough for a body to fit in. And there's also like a bunch of nasty water and in there.
Yeah.
Noah really doesn't want to go, but Ella convinces him that he has to. Noah goes first, then Laura, then Ella. But Ella isn't quick enough. The old people have arrived and they grab her ankles.
No way.
Laura doubles back to help her mother, grabbing her hand. But it won't be enough. Ella screams, "I love you," before being dragged back toward the horde of old people, and they just start slicing and dicing. And RIP to Ella.
Oh my God.
Okay. Yeah, I don't think I expected Lucas and Ella to go. And then they're just boom, boom, back to back. And Laura, she still has her younger brother to think about.
Yep.
So as much as like what she just saw is traumatizing, she powers forward with Noah.
Mm-hmm.
They make it to the end of the tunnel, which has a ladder leading up into the cottage. When they emerge from the passageway, it's daytime now. Noah falls to the ground in exhaustion and Ella just sobs.
Mm-hmm.
Then her phone starts buzzing. It's like a bunch of notifications are all coming in at once. And this is why I say I think there was no service,
mm-hmm.
because it's just like all at once. There's a bunch of news alerts. And then it also says 19 missed calls from Alex.
Yep.
So she tries to call him back and the phone rings quite a few times before Alex does pick up. She tells him that she and Noah are okay, but everyone else is gone. And Alex says his family is gone too.
Oh my gosh.
Laura wants to know where he is and if they can meet. He tells her to come down to the shore, but be quick and be careful. There are old people everywhere.
Yeah.
The line goes dead, and Laura grabs Noah, and they make a run for the door. When they open it, they stop short. On the front porch stands Grandpa. He's quiet and doesn't seem hostile, but Laura raises her gun just in case. As they stand there staring at one another, the leader reveals himself to be standing just beside them, unnoticed. He lets out a roar and then knocks Laura to the ground. The gun goes flying out of her hand. The leader holds his knife to her throat and she screams at Noah to look away.
Mm-hmm.
Grandpa also like covers his face. He seems like he's fighting back against something, but he's like covering his face. And then the dramatic build-up climax music fades out and everything gets echoey. Laura starts singing Am Fenster with the knife held over her throat. Flashbacks of the family play for us as we also hear Alex describing that monument in the woods to us again. Whoever breaks up families is cursed. Whoever defends them soothes the spirits of the ancestors. Noah joins in singing through his tears. The song seems to break through Grandpa's mind, bringing him back to earth and back to a place where he knows his family. He picks up the gun and shoots the leader in the head, saving his granddaughter. I'm not going to lie. It is kind of like cheesy, but this part made me tear up. The way it's edited, it's like really sweet and sad and horrible and beautiful at the same time.
Yeah.
So the three of them are standing there shaking as Laura slowly pulls the gun from her grandfather's hands. You won't hurt us, right, Grandpa? Noah asks. Grandpa takes his face in his hands. I could never hurt you, he says. I love you both so terribly much. Laura breaks down at this and hugs her grandfather. As we pull back from this scene, Laura narrates like she did at the start. The last few nights, I've had dreams again and again about the world in flames. Grandpa, Laura, and Noah are all running through the woods toward the shore. And the more I think about everything that happened, the more I realize that what my little brother Noah and I experienced this summer will soon happen all over the world. Arriving at the shore, they see an older woman holding a dead little boy in her arms and crying. How we transform the souls of the solitary into something dark, and how ultimately only love can overcome grief and fear until we finally trust each other. Alex arrives on his dinghy, and everyone gets on board. As they ride away from the shoreline, they look back and see tons of old people arriving on the shore. One day, I asked my grandpa if there was ever a time when we young people could have warded off the anger that old people feel toward us. Grandpa smiled and said he was a frail old man and that he couldn't remember that far back. But there was a time. An overhead shot of the dinghy going out to the sea reveals helicopters arriving in the smoke and flame-filled town. One day, there was a time. And that is the end of the movie. It gets very dramatic at that.
Very dramatic ending. Mm-hmm. I do love a love conquers all theme.
Mm-hmm.
I am concerned because does this just mean like old people are just taking over the world and trying to kill everybody forever? And mm-hmm. that's just what happens. And like, I'm just curious about how like the world keeps spinning while we're actively fighting off old people 24/7. I guess apocalypse vibes.
What's interesting is I think one of the biggest complaints about this movie, I really liked this movie, but one of the biggest complaints is that it's just so heavy-handed with the messaging of the film. I mean, like, obviously, it's like, it's just about generations and the divides, whatever. So when it comes to the logic of what happened, there really isn't any, because obviously, symbolically, at the end, it's just like, oh, this is going to continue to happen around the world. People are still going to be divided until we learn to trust each other and blah, blah, blah. But then when you look at that from, like, the actual plot, it's like, so the old people are just going to be killing people all the time. What does that mean plot-wise? I don't know.
So yeah. I do like the whole, though, I don't know, like the way that they were spoken to in the home, being like, your time's up. It's like, no, it's not. I feel like a lot of people view older people, specifically older people that like do need help, like on a day-to-day, as if like their life is done. It's not. The best stories come from, like, the older you are, the more wisdom and stories you have. And, like, there's so many cultures that actually have such an emphasis on, like, respecting the elderly. And I feel like our American culture has lost that a lot. I'm curious about where that's at in, like, a German culture lens. But
that is actually a good point, too, to, like, think about. Like, yes, we definitely understand this messaging in the United States. Where is this messaging needed? And I think there are definitely countries and places where they respect the elderly so much more than we do here and I guess in some places. But I'd be curious to see that divide. I think that's interesting. But I think maybe watching it from United States, maybe we find the messaging heavy-handed because it's
very obvious here.
But maybe in other places it doesn't come on as strong. But I really like this movie. I also think it's actually legitimately scary.
It does sound it. The crawl, you had me at old people crawling. Like it is, of course, it's legitimately scary.
That's all that matters. We have quite a few questions for this act. Let me see.
Okay.
We have 8 questions and I would love to see where we end up here.
Yeah, I have no idea.
So would you refrain from running outside into the sea of old people to find your son? Remember, Ella just like abandons ship and runs out. She does have a gun.
I'm going to go 9%.
I did 4.
Especially with the gun.
Gotta go out.
Yep.
Are you willing to turn the old people on your boyfriend's daughter to help yourself? I'm so sorry, but it had to be asked.
So 0. I'm going to go 0, which is unfortunate, but got to do what you got to do.
I did 3, but, you know, same difference.
Yep.
Can you fight off the unnaturally strong old man using a metal pipe, a pot, and a gun? And I'm going to say you do have your teammates in this scenario because it is like everyone against the old man.
Yeah, I'll go 82.
Okay.
I'm pretty confident.
I went 33.
Oh, wow. With like a whole team and all the weapons. I mean, I guess he could get his hand on it. On
yeah, weapons, he's but... just, he's just so scary to me.
Yeah.
But it probably should be higher. But I, like, listen, I was doing these scores. I just didn't feel confident in terms of the movie in general. So I think that was like also yes. in my mind. Just like the whole, I was like, I'm dead. You know
it what gives
I
mean? The vibe. Yeah.
Would you avoid doing everything in your power to off your boyfriend's ex just to sacrifice yourself in the end?
Okay. Okay. So I'm not doing any of that.
Yeah.
Honestly, I'm not going to throw someone else to the wolves, but also mm-hmm. I'm probably not going to sacrifice myself either. Mm-hmm. So I don't know how to go about this.
I just kind of took it as, would you be in this situation?
Where would I be Kim?
Would you be Kim?
Or so zero, right? Wait, would I avoid? No, opposite direction. 100?
Yeah. I did 97, so.
I'll go 99. I can't be 100.
Yeah. That question had to be asked because yeah. she exists and yeah. When you were holding open the door for your wife, would you abandon her once you were getting stabbed and slashed at?
Maybe. I don't know. Like actively being stabbed, I feel like you're everything around you. It's just like your body is just like anything to survive and you just forget it all at that point of like actively being
right
stabbed and stuff.
The what I did to counter that for me was the adrenaline.
Yeah, just, do you feel it? Yeah.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay. I'm going to say 27.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
That's a good score. I went 2.
Yeah.
I don't know. The whole, I think watching it has a different effect on
it's gotta. You.
Because it's like, for me, I was just like, dead.
Yeah.
Could you find the trapdoor before the old people broke into the room? Mind you, you didn't know about this trapdoor.
Yeah.
Until your son mentioned it.
And now you're just hoping it's in this room somewhere.
And you magically know that it's under the piano. My only thought is like, is that why Grandpa Ike was playing the piano earlier in the film? I don't know. And I don't know if she connected that, but there was no indication that that connection was made.
I will say, because we're kind of trapped in this room. Mm-hmm. And if someone brings up a trap door, I'm going to be like, well, let's hope it's in this room and just look everywhere.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm going to say like 85.
Okay.
I feel like I'd tear the room apart just to be like, I hope it's here and yeah. whatever. Because then I feel like if you search the room, it's not going to take long for you to find it.
No, it's yeah. a small room. I did go 9 though, just because I felt like them remembering it at the time they did.
Mm.
And then also finding it as quick as they did felt a little crazy, but
yeah,
that's valid. When going into the tunnel, do you choose to go in front of your kids as opposed to behind them?
Oh, no.
Yeah.
Would I go in front? Like, zero. Actually, I'm going to go 0 here. There's just no way.
Yeah, I did 2.
Yeah.
That doesn't seem to make any sense.
Yeah.
And then the final question. I'm curious to see what you say for this. Would you think to sing the family song to save yourself in the end?
I am a bit cheesy like that, I'm not going to lie. I really believe in the power of music. And when you're desperate to get through to someone, I might think about that.
Mm-hmm.
It's hard to say because it's just like so much has happened and so much adrenaline and we're just like fight or flight survival. Like, would your brain go there in that moment fast enough?
Yeah.
So I'm going to go 48.
48?
Yeah. Wait, did I do it right?
No, I mean, you did it fine. I gave myself a 1. Like, knife to my throat. I'm not going to be like, let me sing the family song right now.
I think.
In no universe am I going to think to do that.
Really?
Yeah. No. Not me. I mean, maybe.
Like, if it was like from our childhood and like I haven't sung it in a million years, then I would probably go that low. But the fact that have been connecting over that song literally this weekend, I feel like it might. Because like, fuck it. You know?
Yeah.
And honestly, when she started singing it, I don't know if she intended for it to get through to him or if she was just singing it to have comfort in that moment.
Yeah.
Kind of like people resort to prayer, obviously, in like moments like that. It's like resorting to just the family song. And like, I would have a cheesy death like that where I'd be like singing my family song and then I'd like get my throat slit. Yeah.
Oh, it'd be so nice. Yeah. No, not me. couldn't do it.
Okay. This one's similar to my act one. I'm at a 44%.
Okay. I had a 19, unsurprisingly.
Wow.
I had a lot of really low scores in this one. Yeah. I just did not feel confident. I think I'm just like, I'm scared of that leader man.
I'm scared to see him.
Yeah, he's big and he's scary looking and whatever. But yeah, no, I ended up with a 19 in my third. And what did that bring you for your overall score for old people?
Okay, that brings me to a 58% overall.
Ooh. Wow, I had a 34. So, I mean, like, we're pretty far apart, but
yeah,
fair enough. That's going to bring our overall score for this episode to a 46%, which to me is high.
Yeah.
Personally for me, but...
The only reason it's high to me is because of how it ends, where it's like, are we just fighting off old people for the rest of our lives? But that's without true. That, like without that, I feel okay with that being our combined.
Okay.
If we like target just this one night, this one situation.
I also think something that is interesting is if I had thought about this, I mean, actually, at the end of the day, you have to just make the assumption that something happened to the car. Like if the car was there... And we Let's all, go. Why did we decide to barricade ourselves in the house and wait for morning? Mm-hmm. I don't know why. So that's the, that's like the one weird part for me, but it is what it is. And that was old people. Wow. And I hope you enjoyed it, Cassie.
This helped my fear a lot. Oh,
I'm sure it did.
Yeah.
Thank you guys so much for tuning in and hanging out with us this week. As always, please check us out over on Instagram at I'd Survive Podcast. There you can also find the links to our Patreon and Discord, where you too can fill out an interactable worksheet to get your own score. So let us know, would you survive?